I don't really like being in front of people. Yeah.
So we went to Dominican Republic near Santiago. If you have any idea where that is, we flew into there. And the people who were helping the mission was called Mission 2535, which is it's taken from Matthew chapter 2535. I should have looked that up, but part of what they're doing is innovation, which is helping the people, the locals there. They have built this big, huge warehouse, I guess I'll call it, and they have a woodworking shop going on there, and they're looking to have plastic recycling, which we'll probably be talking a little bit more about, like water bottles, or grind them up and recycle that. And they're making these filters, which is pretty cool, for water. They're actually making them there. They have solar panels. They have a school where they're just helping, like, hands-on type stuff, welding for the boys, and
I think it's like sewing for the girls.
Yeah, and many other things. They have chickens. They're laying eggs, and of course the locals are all involved with that. Quite a few chickens for that area of the world. Go ahead.
So for Saturday, we basically just flew all day. And then we got there at like 5 or something. And so we went to I guess you consider it like the ministry, like clubhouse kind of or whatever. And we had like a worship service led by like one of the group members. And then we had pizza, which honestly it was kind of a lot better than American pizza, which, and I just thought that was a little funny. And then we had a devotional that night, which became a regular thing, and we would have that back at our hotel because everybody stayed at the same hotel. And we would have it in like this room that was supposed to be a salon, but we just got to use that so we could sit around in a circle. Dan, you can go to the next slide. So Sunday we had a day to relax at the beach. and it was really pretty. It was a 45-minute drive, and we had a like church service around a pool at a restaurant, which was like right across the road from the beach. And then after that, we had lunch, which was fried chicken, plantains, which I thought were bananas, and that was a terrible surprise. we also had salad and rice, and then we could like drink soda or water. And then we were free to go to the beach. And one thing they told us to be careful of was sea urchins. And they said to stay near the mass of people, which we didn't do. So we kind of walked down a lot farther, and it was worth it because the water was a lot clearer. And so we had like maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours at the beach, which wasn't super long, but. And I just thought it was funny, the Walmart. Yeah. Okay, so Dan, you can go to the next slide. So how our usual day worked is we had breakfast with our whole group. And then we could do the morning ministry, which was different things, or we could go to the farm and work. And then after that, we all met up for lunch at the farm. And then after that, we could do VBS, or we could stay and work on the farm. So for Monday morning, the morning ministry was the orphanage, which we both did. Dad played basketball with some of the older boys, and I colored with chalk with some of the younger kids, which was challenging considering we spoke different languages. And then we played Foursquare. Well, we tried to because kids haven't ever played it before, and this one kid just took charge and just told us where to pass the ball, and then we did that, and he told us that we were doing it wrong. He's like, no, 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 here, here, here. And then we did that, and he's like, no, 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 no. So we had a couple people in our group that could speak Spanish. Some of them were Spanish teachers, and some of them just knew Spanish from like practicing it or whatever. So she did some translating, and anyway, so the kid asked how old Dad was, and he told him, and then the lady translated for us, and he told him that he was too old, and the kid kicked him out.
Too old to play Foursquare. Yep.
So I made a friend, which is the kid in both the pictures, and then the one down there in the middle. We kind of just colored for like the whole time, and his name was Luis. So we had to leave. We only had like 45 minutes to an hour there, which wasn't super long. Like, we just started to get used to it, and the kids just started to like get used to us. So we kind of like had to leave right when it was getting good. But you can go to the next slide. Tuesday was house visitation for the morning ministry. So we went around to different houses that were like in like the church's community. So our bus driver's name was Bebe, and his parents owned a church. So we went like to their community. So we went around the different houses and got to talk and get to know the people. And our translator was Saul. He is in the front next to the lady in the red. So we got to talk to with the people, and then after that we got to pray for them, whether that's for their needs or just for their family in general. So after that, I had some homemade headbands that one of the members of our group made. And so we just handed them out, and they really liked them. So I went to one house, and then we went to another one, and then one of the ladies stopped me and asked me in Spanish if she could have more, and I was a little confused. So she's like, uno. I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, dos. I'm like, sure. So I just gave her more. But I think she had more kids than that were there.
So one of the things that we were hopefully helping with was these people were not going to church, and I guess maybe they thought they were maybe on the fence about going to church, and so we went and talked with these families. There's maybe 4 or 5 different places. That's pretty much our houses there. And they invited us in because that's what they do. They had a single light bulb. That's what they had for electric. No refrigerator that I saw.
There was in some of them.
Okay. And we would pray over these people, and they would just start crying. I don't think it was because of the prayer, and I don't think it was because they really understood, because obviously it was English and Spanish, but the Holy Spirit was there. I'm not sure what else to say. One of the ladies we visited actually came to church the next day for their Wednesday night thing, so it was kind of cool.
Do you want to talk about the lady with the suit?
One lady apparently maybe prior cell phones. Some of them had cell phones. It was really odd. But she would always cook soup on this open fire pit, and everybody from the community would come. Yeah, there you go. And she expressed to us that she really missed that because it wasn't happening anymore. So that was one of the things we prayed for. But she was cooking soup when we were there.
She offered it to us, but they said that we weren't allowed to have it because it'd probably make us really sick. So.
Yeah.
You can go to the next slide, Dan. So Wednesday was the dump, and that was something that we were required to do. So we got into like this, that like red truck thing, and we had to go like back this long driveway, which was super bumpy. And so what we did, we asked questions like, how many hours did they work there, which I think was 7 to 7.
Mm-hmm. You have to explain why you're at the dump.
Yeah. And we also asked like how old they have to be to work there, which is 18. And so we basically went to feed them because they don't make a lot. And we also, some of the people in our group shared testimonies with the people. And we had the translator so they didn't understand. So we fed them lunch, which was sandwiches, chips, and water, and a lot of them came back for more water, but with a container that they just picked out of the dump, because they don't really have like water bottles or anything. So that's the dump on the bottom, and there's this, what's it called?
The machine. Bulldozer?
Yeah. And they would like, the one guy on the bulldozer would just like push the trash up so there was room for more when they came. And the guy on the bulldozer, like, there's people like right behind him and he didn't stop, so he like literally probably wouldn't care if he ran over somebody. He just wanted to get done with what he was doing. So
you want to explain why the people are at the dump?
Yeah, that's like their job. They collect, they go through the trash and they collect glass, metal, and plastic. Mm-hmm. And then they sell it, or people.
That's part of the idea, yeah, of the plastic recycling at this guy's warehouse, to buy the plastic bottles that these people are finding and give them a fair price for them. And then, of course, he would employ some people to run the machinery back at the warehouse. So these people were collecting this stuff and getting paid, but apparently it was not a fair price, which obviously adds to the problem.
It's not there.
No. They gave us peppermint essential oil to stick like on our lip, just so we wouldn't make it so obvious that it smells super bad. But it wasn't as bad as they made it out to be. But we didn't really like, we couldn't help like look for plastic or whatever, just because there's like sharp objects and that kind of stuff, and they didn't want us to get hurt.
So they had a ringleader there that was in charge of this group, maybe 30 or 40 people, and he was just very, "We're glad that you're here. We're going to behave and we're going to listen to what you have to say," and they did. Very well behaved. When they got in line for their lunch, it was like first graders. They were like this in line.
Dan, we can go to the next slide.
Is that you eating lunch up there?
What?
They were eating up there.
Oh yeah, that's when we were feeding them lunch, so we got to eat after they did. We had like pre-made sandwiches for us, and then we had other ones that we just made for them.
Do they live around there?
No, they just go there 7 to 7, and then they go home.
They don't live at the dump.
Yeah.
But they live close by. Yeah, they're walking there. Some of them are Haitians, which I guess are really low class when you're in Dominican Republic. They don't like each other a whole lot. So a bunch of those people are Haitians. That was really all. Maybe the only job they could find, if you want to call it a job. They were, it was really dangerous. Yeah, it was really bad.
You can talk about Thursday. It's the prison.
Thursday we went to the boys' juvenile prison. You walked in, there's this courtyard maybe as big as this room, and the cells were around it, maybe a dozen boys in each cell, and they were looking out through the bars, and we went into the cafeteria, I guess like cement picnic tables, maybe you'd call it, and there was over 100 boys there. We gave them t-shirts left over from some race, and they put them on immediately. I thought that was interesting. So every boy was wearing a white t-shirt, and again, we gave them chips and soda, something that they wouldn't get probably ever. And two guys shared their testimony, and the guards, the women guards, started to cry. One of them was in Spanish, one of the guys knew Spanish. Some of the boys were crying. I was an 18-year-old boy once, and they don't like to cry in front of each other, so I'm pretty sure that was a real thing. One boy did accept Christ there. The warden, I guess, was there, and he was touched by whatever was said. Again, I don't know what was said, but I do know the scripture that the guy used that was in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to, you guys know it, you can look it up. So that's what he was using. In other words, God has a plan for your life. It's not ending here. They were excited to be there. There is no doubt about it. It's a good time.
They couldn't take pictures there. That's why we don't have any.
We could not take pictures, yeah.
You want to talk about the special needs home? Oh, so if you want to go back, Dan. So that night, they took us to Sweet Frog, and then there was like this, like, I guess they would consider it a mall, but it's really just a shopping center. Is like huge, and then there's like a pet store above it, so that's just this weird fish thing. Yeah, and it just looks like his brain's on the outside of his head, and then the fish behind him has super big eyes.
Those are little limoncellos or something. Limoncellos, I think they called them. It's like a little lime, and you sucked the kind of pulp off the outside of that. So that was some of the local flavor that we had. They told us not to do it, but we did it anyway. It was pretty good. They were sweet.
Then there's like a big pit on the inside that you just spit back into the outside.
That's some of the people that we did house visits for. That's what they gave us as like to eat as our welcome type thing.
Yeah. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So we didn't have anything for Friday because we couldn't take pictures there at the special needs home, and I didn't do that. I played baseball with some of the young boys, and they're really good. But you can talk about the special needs home.
So like every afternoon, like you could do the ministry thing in the morning, they called it, in the afternoon you could go to the farm, or you could be at the farm the whole time too. So this is part of what we were doing in the afternoon. We're digging foundations here. I'm guessing it was at least a foot wide and 2 to 2.5 feet deep, and they filled that whole thing in with concrete. Something we would not do here. Pretty sure it was because of the earthquakes. They really had a hunk of concrete there. And we filled in that foundation there with dirt, with shovels. They don't know what a skid loader is. Yeah. We did the ditch with shovels too, yeah. And we mixed concrete by hand up there in the middle. They had a pile of sand and a pile of stone and a bag of concrete and two buckets of water, and we put it in there, and there you can see us pouring some concrete over there. So you'd shovel all that in and you'd take it up with wheelbarrows. It was quite a bit of work. Here's the bags of concrete right here that you'd stick in. A lot of rebar. Again, I'm guessing for the earthquake. So they were building these. It's a dormitory. There were five of them, I think.
Going to be
dormitories. So people wouldn't have to stay at this hotel, so they would be saving money and putting that money towards better things. So that was the idea. They were kind of like in a circle, semicircle. A lot going on there. They had 12 acres of land, and they had ideas for all of it. They really had a grand vision there, which was pretty cool. So Friday morning, we went to the special needs home. Grace didn't go. Again, we couldn't take pictures. One thing I forgot to tell you about the prison is pretty cool. While we were there, you know, a question that we asked was, what do the other groups do? You know, we were feeding them and doing, I guess, what they knew to do. They said, well, what do other groups do? And they said, there are no other groups. So, meaning that the government didn't let anybody else in there besides this group. So they felt that it was an act of God to even be able to get in there. Anyway, this special needs home, again, it was a courtyard, maybe like this, and two-story buildings, you know, on either side flanking it. And they knew we were coming, and we walked in the door, and it was a huge cheer. Yeah, they're here! And we went kind of through the courtyard into this pavilion type thing, and everybody came walking, running, crawling, dragging their limbs. It was really sad, but really exciting at the same time. So we danced with them. That's what we did. And we played games. There were some kids, even adults, in like crib type things in the one room that we hung out with. Some of them were tied to the crib. Not in a mean way, but just so they didn't get away, I guess. Just didn't have enough help to watch everybody and everything. So, yeah, again, we fed them soda and chips. Again, it's something they don't get. It was really exciting. They didn't want us to go. It was really hard. We were warned before we went, said, don't bring anybody home with you. They knew what was going on. Yeah, so I'm guessing some kind of government subsidized area. I'm not sure how it all worked, but yeah.
You can go to the next slide. So this was VBS, and I went every day. That was in the afternoon. So it was at Bebe's parents' house, or their church, but their house is like above the church, and they decided they wanted to do it on their balcony, which we aren't really sure why, because they have a nice spacious church below. But so we had chairs set up in rows, and then there's space up front for us. So we basically had a lesson, and that was like, it was like a main lesson, but it's split into different parts. And then we would say it, and then Saul would translate for the kids. And then we had worship, which was in all Spanish, so I was kind of confused. But worship was filled with lots of dancing and laughs, and the kids had like a grand old time. They were just laughing and having fun. And then after that, we had snack, which was the kids' favorite part. So we gave them soda or water, whatever they wanted. And then And then we had a snack that was different every day. We had fishies and honey sticks and animal crackers and other stuff like that for them.
We would see some of the kids from the house visits that we did were at Bible school, which was pretty cool. I'm assuming they walked, and it was pretty far. I'm guessing 2 miles maybe to get to this Bible school, so there was definitely some effort on their part to get there.
That's it.
Did you want to have a comment about Wednesday night church?
Oh, yeah. So we went to a church on Wednesday night, and it was kind of like, I guess, what would be in town for them. And it's kind of like ours, actually, except it's, they're more like into it, and they get like, they dance a lot. I mean, they're like in their seat, but they still dance a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, they also have scriptures that they hand out and then they read. So it's really similar to that too. Their little praise team was in a little corner up front. And
physical need or what or anything? I'm guessing, I mean, I'm just going by what I saw along the road as we drove. I'm guessing only a third of those people are employed. Everybody else is just hanging out. You know, something that one person would do in this country, 3 or 5 people were doing there, you know. If you're doing your hardware store with one person, they had 5 people running that just to spread out the work, I guess. much better off than Haiti. Very much better off. You could tell their way of thinking in the DR is much better. Yeah. A lot of the cars look like what we drive here. Some are worse, but for the most part, they're pretty nice cars.
A lot of people drive tap-taps, which are motorcycles, but they're a little smaller.
Yeah. Any other questions?
You see any pigs?
We saw pigs.
We had pigs next to our hotel, too.
Yeah. You know, there's
you
like...
have roosters that got you awake in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Literally, there's a barnyard next to our hotel, like... literally against the wall.
Like goats, sheep, pigs, chickens.
Yeah, they'd raise a couple pigs at a time is how they did it. Yeah.
So in what way has this changed you, Grace, going down there and seeing how these
people live? Realizing that how much better off that we are and that we shouldn't be taking things for granted because there's people that are a lot worse off than we are.
Even their water
was
horrible.
They have bottled water, like in big jugs that, I guess it'd be somebody's job, and they bring it around and they give them new jugs of water and they take back the empty ones. Because even like the water they have, it'll make the people sick.
We did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did not feel that way at Haiti. I'm assuming they're going to the people out in the country that, you know, maybe a cluster of houses would have a small well, and this would help purify the water. water's a huge problem down there. It's not very good quality and not a whole lot of it, I don't think. Even their crops were in really bad shape compared to ours. So I did have a couple thoughts from our Wednesday night church service. Care if I use this? Well, first of all, what we gave them, then we'll go the other way. Especially on those house visits, I thought those people were just honored to have us there. We made them feel special. I'm sure we would too if someone traveled all that way to come visit us. They just really like that. You came all this way to see me. That is really the way they felt. I felt we gave them hope. I really did. when we prayed over them, it meant something. I did feel paraded around. It felt really odd. But it was amazing, the door that having white skin opened down there. It was amazing. And they do need us. What they gave us, again, probably a lot of this came from those house visits, maybe at the church we visited on Wednesday evening. They came to Jesus wanting and expecting Jesus to move. I saw it time and time again down there. Their hearts were just ready. I don't know if someone was doing their homework there. I think they probably were getting these people prepared. These people desired intensely to come to Jesus. Nothing was held back. I think Grace talked about that a little bit. Quite honestly, if I'm honest, I can't remember the last time I came to Jesus like that. It was just all right there in the open. That guy Wednesday night talked about Luke 5, 17 to 26. Maybe somebody could find that and read it. We still okay on time? We need to close it up.
Whenever you're done.
Okay.
I can read Luke 5.
Luke 5, 17 to 26.
Okay. And it happened on a certain day that he was teaching, and there was Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. Come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a man, bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring and lay before him. When they could not find how to bring them in because of the crowd, they went to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began reasoning, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When he perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he rose up before them and took what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things."
Okay, this guy was speaking obviously in Spanish. I don't know exactly what he was saying. I did ask somebody who understands Spanish, and they clued me in a little bit. And one of those things with that Bible story was surround yourself with people who want to see Jesus. So I came into that week looking for something maybe, or hoping to hear something that these people would offer that I could bring back home. So I felt this was it. Surround yourself with people who want to see Jesus. I feel that we do that here in this church. I really do. I guess this isn't a rhetorical question. I guess I'd like to have you answer this. Is Jesus hard to get to at times? What crowds Jesus out in your life? The guys, they couldn't get into this house because there's a crowd in the way. So what would that be? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to work hard to cut through the roof, if you want to call it that. It's human effort there. It's up to us. There's a verse in James 4:8. That says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. And Jesus was speaking that. So that's what these guys were doing. So the first step was a lot of human effort. But I was wondering what happened on the way down on that rope. Maybe that dude was letting go. Maybe he was counting on Jesus to act. You really have nothing when you're in that situation. I'm pretty sure that guy had nothing to offer. He had nothing left to do. The human effort was to get through the roof, but till he got to Jesus, it was all in Jesus' hands. I don't think Mike's Bible used it, but my Bible uses the word authority. He had to fully accept Jesus' authority. Again, my question to you, has New Beginnings accepted Jesus Christ's full authority? I kind of feel like we're right there. In a really good way. And Jesus Christ is maybe asking that question of us today. One more quick thing. I thought it was pretty cool. Friday night, kind of the last thing, we're up at the hangout place up on the rooftop there that you saw the picture of. And this dude came up to me and say, Sean, I'm supposed to pray for you. And this guy is, throughout the week, you could tell he was a prayer warrior. He was very into it, and rightly so, in a good way. And I said, great. And he says, well, what can I pray for? I said, dude, I'm pretty tired, physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I could tell it wasn't really what I was looking for. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. But he said, okay, what else? And I said, really want to see our town come to know Jesus. And very briefly, some of the problems with leadership here at TC. And that dude prayed for 20 minutes. Just could barely even take a breath. He was that into it. And he got done with that, and near as I can remember, these are his exact words. You cannot go home and plan more programs and more activities. You cannot redouble your efforts. If you do that, you will be destroyed. You will only win that battle with prayer. And I guess, again, that's maybe my challenge to us as a church. So, all right.